This morning we're going to continue our series from Hebrews chapter 11, Faith for the Journey, as we look at the examples that are set before us from this chapter concerning faith. Today we're going to return to Abraham. Last week we talked about his wife Sarah a little bit, and today we're going to come back and talk about Abraham. The Bible makes it very clear that Abraham was God's friend. I think that's interesting that he would say that, or that the Bible would say that. Abraham was God's friend, and God was his friend. You see, Abraham loved the Lord. We know, according to the book of Genesis, that he followed the Lord to a land he had never seen. I mean, he loved God so much and is willing to live by faith that God says, "You just come out here, I want to show you something." And Abraham said, "Okay, I'll follow you." And there in the land, he lived in tents as a pilgrim. The Bible says he never settled down. And he always looked to the future. He was always looking to what God had for him. He had been tested many times in his life. He had been tried, and he continued to live by faith. You know, along the way, God promised Abraham that he would have a son. You know, when Abraham went into the land, him and his wife Sarah, they had no children. And it's believed at that point, Sarah probably was certain that she would not have a child. And God promised Abraham that he would have a son, and that he would have a multitude of descendants. You know what Abraham discovered? He discovered that God was faithful to his word. That when God gave a promise, you can count on it. Because eventually, God did bless him and Sarah with a son. After years of waiting, Isaac was born. I can just imagine that day. The Bible tells us that Abraham had a feast on that day. Or not on that day, when Isaac was weaned later, he had a feast. He was celebrating the fact that he had a son, that God had answered not only his prayers, but God had kept his promise to Abraham and given him a son. And Abraham was probably excited and thrilled. Bible tells us that we know that he raised Isaac, and he watched him grow, not only through youth, but to become a young man. You know, I imagine Abraham was a proud daddy. Have you ever seen proud parents? I mean, they're so bragging on their children, watching their children grow. I imagine he was a proud dad and just enjoyed watching Isaac live life and grow and become a young man. You know, it's at this time in his life that Abraham received the greatest test of his faith. Perhaps the greatest test, I believe, of any person's faith. And as we'll see this morning, Abraham staggered not. He should have. Humanly speaking, he should have staggered at this. It should have just, I don't know if you want to say knocked him down or knocked him over. It should have staggered him. But the Bible tells us that he was able to not only remain obedient, but to fulfill God's plan by faith. Hebrews chapter 11, I'm going to begin reading in verse 17. It says, "By faith Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. And he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called." Verse 19, "accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure." Dear Lord, we come to you this morning thanking you for the blessings you've given to us. As we look at Abraham and as we look at this test of his faith that you gave to him, I pray that you'll encourage us this morning as we live by faith. I pray as we go through our trials, as we are tempted, as we are tested, that we will look to you and trust in you just as Abraham did. Please bless us this morning. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I really believe, humanly speaking, that Abraham should have staggered here. He really should have. There should have been something that just, if anything, was going to cause him to stumble or cause him just to I guess, say, delay, hesitate. It should have been this. And I'm going to give you three reasons this morning why I believe he was able to continue with God without staggering. I'm going to give you three reasons. The first one is, I believe he was fixed on God's promise. In other words, he was established on the promise that God had given him. You know, Abraham, the Bible says here, was tried. That means he was tested or he was examined. No different than a teacher testing a student. They test them, not to fail them necessarily, but to challenge them to see where their knowledge has increased, if it has increased at all. You see, here, Abraham's faith was tested. I think it's interesting that this test came really later in life. I believe it took many years for Abraham's faith to grow to this point. Had this test come earlier, Abraham probably would have hesitated. He may have stumbled. He may have quit. But the Bible tells us that later in life is when he received this test. You know, the difficulty here, this difficulty, was allowed into his life by God to challenge his faith and to see how it had grown. You see, the Bible tells us that Abraham was commanded to offer up Isaac. Turn with me, if you would, to Genesis 22. We're going to read this account firsthand of what took place, Genesis 22. And we're going to begin in verse 1. It says there, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest. Get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains, which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning, saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him." We're going to stop there this morning. I'll read the rest of that here in a little bit. But I want you to notice that Abraham there was commanded to offer up Isaac. Now think about that for a few minutes or for a few seconds this morning. It was not an animal he was commanded to offer up, not an enemy, not a servant, but his own son he was told to offer up to God. Now this was the child that he had waited for. This was the child that Sarah had desired for many years. This was the child I'm sure they delighted in. The child that brought joy to their life, brought happiness and peace and contentment, watching him grow and become a young man. You know, they knew Isaac was a miracle. God had promised and God had blessed. It was a miracle. And I imagine they also understood that they probably would have no more children. This was it. This was the promised seed. God said, here he is. This is the one I'm going to bless the world through. It's Isaac. And then he receives this command to take him, it says, to Moriah, and basically to leave him there. Now think about this for a minute. He was to sacrifice him personally and to watch him die. That's what the Bible tells us. Isaac was not going to a new residence. You know, we think of parents taking their young men and women off to college and helping them get established and then going back home, and then hopefully they call and they keep in touch and they come and visit. No, Isaac was not going to a new residence. He was leaving the land of the living. That's what this command was for. Now, any parent that has had a child enter into eternity knows the gravity of this command. This was serious. And this, when you think about it, if anything, was going to stagger Abraham. How could Abraham think of doing this, some would say? I believe as he, not only did he follow God, but as we said a few minutes ago, he had his faith fixed on God's promise. Keep in mind, Isaac was not being sacrificed due to Abraham gratifying his flesh and refusing the responsibility of a child like many do today with abortion. That's not why Isaac was being taken up upon that hill. God had commanded him to go up there and offer him back to him. You know, Abraham loved Isaac dearly, and God was testing his faith. You know, Abraham followed God's command, the Bible tells us, and he trusted that God would provide. You know, he believed that Isaac would be spared and given back. You know, in Genesis 22, I want to read you, notice in verse 5, it says there, we've read that there, and this is when they arrive at Moriah, and there before Abraham goes up the hill, he says, "And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you." This morning, I want you to notice something in that passage. We find Abraham's faith. Notice what he tells his servants. He says, "We're going to go up, we're going to worship, and we're going to come back." I don't believe Abraham thought he was going home without Isaac. I really don't believe that. I believe he had faith. And he did not know how God was going to work. He did not know how God would allow things to transpire. But he believed that God would allow Isaac to live. Or as we'll see here in a little while, he believed God would give him life back again. Because God had promised that Isaac would be the one he was going to bless. You see, Abraham trusted God's word is what it came down to this morning. He had faith in what God had told him. Now you do realize that God has absolute claim on all we possess. 1 Chronicles chapter 29 kind of deals with this a little bit. It's a touchy passage because it talks about God not only owning all, but having all under His authority and in His power. This morning, if you have anything at all, be grateful because God has given it to you. Some will say, well, I've earned it with my mind. Well, be grateful that you have a clear mind that God has given you. Billy Sunday used to tell the story of how he went to an insane asylum to visit some people that were there. Billy Sunday was an evangelist in the early 1900s. And as he was leaving, he was walking out. There was a gentleman up there at the hanging his head out one of the windows, just screaming out, thank God for sanity, thank God for sanity. He kept just screaming that over and over and over and over again. He was one of the people inside this asylum. And he just kept screaming, thank God for sanity, thank God for sanity. And as Billy Sunday was going to his car, he said it just hit him. He said if it wasn't for God, he said he understood that it very well could be him up there. And he said he got to his car and he immediately thanked God for having a sane mind and having the ability to reason and to think. You see, this morning, everything we have is a gift of God, and we should give thanks to God for what He's given to us. Be grateful for all that you have. Be grateful that God is giving it to you. You know, as hard as it may be, we should be willing to part with anything that God has given us. We should be willing to say, God, it's yours. If you want it, you can have it. God, it's yours. You've given it to me. If I don't need it, you can take it back. Now that's difficult to say, but you know, loved ones, that's how we should live. I was reading a story of John Wesley, the evangelist, years back. I said that he was walking down the street, and there was a man that was just jumping up and down and screaming. And John Wesley said, "What's the matter?" And he looked. He goes, "That rascal," he said, "he just stole my boots." And John Wesley looked. He said, "Well, maybe he needed them. How about you go offer him your socks too?" You see, sometimes we get so caught up in thinking we need everything. We have to have this. Perhaps God is saying, you know, you don't need that. You know, we should be willing to give back from what God has given to us. You know, I think of Abraham here, and I tell you, this is just for me, as much for me as anybody else. But I'm going to say a few thoughts here. First, we should be ashamed when we refuse to part with any, I guess you say, sinful affection. Anything that is sinful in our life. Abraham was willing to part with his son. And you think about that faith, that faith should put us to shame if we hold on to sins. How about when we hold on to materials or possessions? We hold on to those as if they're ours. We want to keep them forever. Not willing to let them go or not willing to say, God, they're yours. If you want them, you can have them. You see, Abraham was willing to part with his son. You know, that faith that he had was great. And I believe it was fixed on God's promise. You know, I wonder the thoughts that went through his mind. You know, Abraham was a human being. He was a man. He was saved by God's grace. He's no different than us. And I wonder some of the thoughts that filled his head when he received this command. Perhaps he thought, well, God, are you changing your promise? God, are you upset at me? You're asking me to do this? God, has Isaac done something to change your plan? Is that why we're going? You know, the devil may have whispered in his ear, you're guilty. Or the devil may have whispered, yea, hath God said? You sure God wants you to do this? That's the way the devil got Adam and Eve. He said, yea, hath God said? You know, Abraham trusted the promise. He knew God had promised not only that Isaac would be his son, but that God would bless the world through Isaac. And that's what Abraham clung to. Now, Abraham staggered not. And really, you think about it, he very easily could have. Think of this. Nothing will make us stagger like the thought of death. That's why funerals, really, think about it, are very somber occasions for the most part. Because we understand our mortality. You walk through a cemetery, you understand your mortality. You read the obituary page, you begin to understand your mortality. That, hey, we will not live here on earth forever. So there's nothing like death to make us stagger. Also, he could have staggered because this trial was unexpected. It came suddenly and by surprise. How many of you have been surprised by something? Something has come into your life you didn't plan on, and oh, you got to deal with it now. He could have staggered because it came suddenly into his life. He could have staggered because all was going well before this occurred. Now think about Abraham for a minute. His faith in God was great. God had kept his promise concerning Isaac. And when you think of Abraham, now I don't know if he had a rocking chair or if he had a porch. He had a tent, so he probably didn't have a porch. But I imagine as he's nearing the end of his life, he may have been thinking, you know what, my big trials are behind me. I have walked by faith. God has kept His promise. I've seen Him work. And now God is just going to bless me. Because remember, Abraham knew he was going to be blessed with a long life. And he may have thought, you know, it's just time for me to relax and watch my son grow up and watch him take over the family business. And it's time for me just to get ready to go into eternity with my Lord and my Savior. You know, it doesn't always work that way. Sometimes God may save some trials for us later in life. Maybe it's because He knows our faith will be strengthened by then and we'll be ready for that test and ready for that trial. You know, you think of Abraham. His future looked bright. The sky was clear, so to speak. And suddenly there was a clap of thunder and a storm is coming in. And he's got to deal with this new situation. He could have staggered because of that. Here's another reason why he could have staggered. He could have staggered because of the conflicts that were going on. Think of this. He had a love for God, and he definitely loved Isaac. God says, I want him. Give him back to me. He loved both. What we find out is his love for God, not only his love for God, but his faith in God was great. And so he is able and willing to do this. Also, another conflict we have with Abraham here is how about you think about the understanding as far as right and wrong. You know, in Genesis chapter 9, verse 6, God made it clear that no man should shed blood. Later, when the law was given, not only was murder looked down upon, but nobody was to... God has never accepted or wanted a human sacrifice. That became clear later in the Scriptures. And so Abraham here is receiving this direction or this command, and he has to choose between obedience and lawlessness, so to speak. You know, God, you sure you want me to do this? Are you sure this is your word and your direction and your command? He could have staggered at that. He could have staggered at the promise and the command. You know what I mean by that? Is think of this. God said, Isaac is the one I'm going to bless. Now I want Isaac. Abraham very easily could have said, God, I think you're confused. I don't think you know what you're talking about. There's no way you want Isaac. Isaac needs to live. Instead, the Bible tells us he was faithful. You know, here's what I think. I think he looked upon Isaac. Now, Isaac, as we'll see in a minute, traveled with Abraham. They went 3 days' journey, and they talked and they fellowshipped along the way. And I believe when he looked upon Isaac, you know what he was reminded of? He was reminded of God's miracle of grace. You see, God had already kept His promise and kept His word through a miracle. And I imagine that Abraham understood that if God could give Isaac through a miracle, then God could also spare him or give him back in another miracle. You see, he was fixed on God's promise. See, God wasn't going to allow His word to fall or to fail, basically. You see, Abraham truly believed God would keep His word, and that's what it came down to. This morning, do you believe God will keep His word? I do. We should have faith in God's word. Now, because Abraham believed, he was ready to follow. Notice next, we go back to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 17. It says there, and we're going to go back to chapter 22 here in a minute of Genesis. But in 17, it says, by faith Abraham, when he was tried, it says, offered up Isaac, and that he had received the promises, offered up his only begotten son. We talked about the promises. He had received them already and was willing to give Isaac back. In verse 18, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able, it says, to raise him up. This morning, I want you to notice that Abram, by faith, followed God's plan. He staggered not because he was fixed on God's promise, and he staggered not because he followed God's plan. You see, Abraham, earlier in life, had got himself into some trouble because he chose not to follow God's plan, but chose to do his own thing. This time, Abraham followed God's plan. You see, God told him what to do, and without hesitation or without delay, Abraham followed. He was obedient. You know, we find that faith dictated his direction. Because he trusted God, he was going to follow God. You know what faith does in our life? It removes the difficulties of decision because it directs us to trust in God. You know, a lot of times in our life, we may have to make a decision. I tell you what, make a decision based on what God's Word has said. Trusting God to direct. Trusting God to be faithful. Also, faith bypasses doubts. I mean, it just skips right over doubts. If you're trusting in God, those doubts will be removed because with God, all things are possible. And so I believe Abraham staggered not because he didn't even consider those doubts. His mind, he was going to follow God and be faithful. So the Bible tells us that he obeyed and that he went by faith. You know, we read a little bit of Genesis 22. It says there that he received received the command, and that immediately, the Bible says early the next morning, he got up and he left. I don't know if he was an early riser, but that morning he was. He didn't sleep in. Of any days to sleep in, I imagine that would have been the day to sleep in. He got up early and he left. He didn't delay. He didn't say, I want to spend more time with Isaac. He went. And I believe it was because by faith. I don't believe he thought Isaac was going to be left there on that mountain. By faith, he knew Isaac was coming back. Now, the Bible says nothing of Abraham and his conversation with Sarah before he left. I'm under the opinion he didn't tell Sarah a thing. If he did, I believe she would have kept Isaac there. I could be wrong on that. I imagine this was his test, and he said, hey, Isaac, let's go. You know, as you see, as we read in Genesis 22, Isaac really didn't know all the details either until they got there. I imagine Abraham kept this to himself and was going to walk by faith and trust in God. You know, sometimes we have to carry certain burdens and trust in God. You know, in this case, I imagine Sarah may have found out later, perhaps around the dinner table. Maybe Isaac mentioned it. I can see her saying, you did what? You took my son where? And he had to go by faith and trust in God. And that's what we find here. It says it was a 3-day journey. You know, that's long enough to change your mind when you think about it. 3 days. They had to walk. I imagine each time he looked upon Isaac, he said, God will provide. He might not have told Isaac that, but in his heart, I imagine he's thinking, God will provide. You're going to be okay. And 3 days. And perhaps he was wondering during those 3 days that God would provide along the way. You know, sometimes God waits until the last minute to provide. Have you ever had a prayer request, maybe a need in your life, and you went to God with that need, and he didn't provide the answer until sometimes the last second. I mean, just at the very last minute, there's the answer, and God provides, and you praise the Lord. You see, sometimes God will provide early, but sometimes God will allow us to go up to the end. Here in this case, that's what happened with Abraham. He took off on this journey 3 days, and as they walked, the Bible says that they talked, and they had fellowship together, a 3-day journey. You know, what we also find here is that this was not a reaction by Abraham. This was a conscious decision to trust in God. He put his faith in God. He put everything, so to speak, in one basket. What's that phrase? All your eggs in one basket? He put everything into God's care and trusted in the Lord. You see, Abraham and Isaac went up the mountain, the Bible tells us. And as they went up that mountain, the Bible says that they talked. Isaac began to look around. Now, he's 33 years old. And this is interesting too. God, I tell you what, Abraham must have taught Isaac about God and about faith. Because Isaac was old enough and probably strong enough to overpower his dad and leave had he wanted to. But Isaac, like his dad, lived by faith. And as they're going up this mountain, the Bible tells us that Abraham begins to explain a little bit to Isaac. You know, Isaac was a smart man and said, well, where's the sacrifice? Abraham says, God will provide. Then eventually we see him putting Isaac down, getting ready to sacrifice. And who knows, as he's getting ready to sacrifice, he's probably thinking, God will provide. And maybe he's telling Isaac that too. And as he's raising that, the Bible says he raised that knife up and that he wasn't stopped until he made a commitment to take Isaac's life. And I imagine as he was going through that, we'll talk about it here in a minute, that he knew God would provide. You see, he followed God's plan is what he did. And the Bible says that he was blessed because of this. Now I'm going to give you some thoughts on following God's plan. You know, Abraham was able first to separate his feelings from his faith. You know, if we're not careful, our emotions can dictate our actions. Now, some of us are real emotional. Some aren't. Some are a little bit more mellow or have your emotions under control. Some are really emotional. You know, if we're not careful, emotions can direct us. Now, his actions were directed by his trust in God, not his feelings for Isaac, though he felt, I believe he loved Isaac greatly. His direction was based upon God's word. You know, there are times in our life where we have to make a decision. And we have to decide, am I going to follow my personal attachments or am I going to trust in God? You see, if we're not careful, our personal affections or attachments can hinder our faith. And here he was able to separate those from his faith. Also, he is able to separate logic from his faith. Now, some of you are probably like me. You like to reason things out and have the answers. You like to have the answers even before you go, if possible. That's just me. I mean, I go on a trip. I like to have everything figured out, where we're going to stop, where we're going to go. Abraham was able to separate the logic from his faith. Notice God didn't even tell him which hill he was going to go on until he got there. God led him one step at a time. And he had to trust that God would take care of the matter, even though what he was doing seemed illogical. And really, it was unnatural. He shouldn't have been taking Isaac to do that. And so he had to separate logic from his faith. He had to trust in God. You know, sometimes we have to do that as well. We have to separate, well, okay, I can't figure this out. I don't know the end from the beginning. I don't know what's going to happen in between. But I know God does. You know, we have to do that at work sometimes, or with our career. You know, if you ever have a job and you get laid off, that happens. You can have all sorts of questions, all sorts of things going through your mind. You have to trust that God has a plan for your life, and that He's going to work out the details as you walk with Him and as you trust in Him. Also, Abraham was able to separate knowledge from his faith. God didn't tell Abraham why he was doing this. God didn't tell Abraham, here's all the reasons. I'm going to strengthen you. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. God just said, I want you to do this, and you need to follow. You know, Abraham gave up everything to follow God. Now, his faith was not based upon, superstition. Or it wasn't just blind faith. I believe it was based upon reason. You know what it is? He trusted God's word. And he said, God, you are faithful. You have never let me down. I trust you. I trust your character. So I'm going to go by faith. You know, this morning, when we live by faith, that's what it is. We're not living by superstition. We're not living by blind faith, as the world thinks Christians live. We are trusting God is what we're doing. We are trusting what God has to say. We're trusting the promises that God has given. How about salvation? For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you realize salvation is a gift from God? It's a promise made to the world that those that believe on Jesus Christ shall be saved. Now that's a promise from God. And if you're saved here this morning, you have faith in that promise. So you've trusted God's word. Now, some, when they're saved, you know, we go back to emotions. I've seen some trust in Christ, and I tell you, it's like the waterworks come on. Tears are flowing and just rejoice. I've seen some just rejoice. They're just so excited. Then I've seen some trust in Christ, and I mean, just not a blank stare, but it just, you know, they did it. They trusted in Christ, and they're ready to go. You see, we're all different. It has nothing to do with how you feel. It's your faith trusting in God, taking Him at His word. You know, those of you in business, you sign a contract. You understand the importance of that contract, that agreement. You trust that the other individual is going to keep their end. See, that's faith. That's trust. When you trust in Christ as your Savior, that's what it is. You repent of your sins, and you believe on Jesus Christ, and you have faith that He'll keep His word, and that He's the one who has saved your soul. You see, that's what faith is, trusting in God. And it's not based upon superstition, but it's based upon Him and His word. You know, this morning, I do believe it's best to trust in God and to put your faith in Him, because He is faithful, and He will keep His word. You know, finally, real quick, I want to talk about the last thing that Abraham, I believe, the reason why he didn't stagger, and that is because he focused on God's power. You know, in Hebrews chapter 11, it tells us there. We've read it, but I'm going to just read that last part to you again, and we'll discuss this just for a few minutes. But Hebrews chapter 11, verse 19, it says there, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him, it says there in a figure. You know what we find? Abraham believed God would raise Isaac from the dead. He did. And that's why he was able to go. You see, he focused on God's power and not on his problem. Yes, it was a trial. Yes, it was great what was about to happen, or in his mind what was about to happen. But he didn't focus on that. He focused on God's power. You see, if Isaac died, so did the promise. The only way the promises that God had given could be fulfilled was if Isaac lived, or if he died, was brought back to live again. You see, Abraham knew that. Abraham did not know how God would work all things out, but he believed that if Isaac should die, God could give him life again. See, that's power, the power of God. You see, I believe Abraham thought Isaac was going to die. I think what happened is maybe at the beginning, perhaps at the beginning of his journey, he thought, well, God will provide, God will provide. We see him saying that. God will provide. But you know, when he gets right up to it, you think about this, how he got right up to the point where he took that knife and he began to do the will of God or the direction that God had told him. I believe then it changed probably from God will provide to God will give him life again. You think about that. You see, that was faith in God's power. Isaac or Abraham did not know how, but he believed God could give him life again because God had promised him that Isaac would be the one to be blessed. You know, Abraham did not have evidence of this. He'd never done this test before. This was new to him. He'd never read of anybody else doing this. He didn't have evidence of this. He didn't have proof that God would do it. But he trusted God and he believed he could. You know, he believed God possessed power over life and death. That's what it came down to. He believed God was in complete control. And so he trusted God's power that he could raise Isaac from the dead if Isaac would have to die. You know, Abraham's faith took him beyond the parameters. You think about that. I mean, today we live basically within parameters. I mean, we live within the parameters of time. We only have 24 hours a day. I guess if you count daylight savings, we lost one last night somehow. But we have 24 hours a day. We also have certain laws that, you know, of science, medicine, and so forth that we are bound by. But you know what? God is not bound by those laws. God can work outside of time or work outside of the laws of nature if he would choose to, because he's God. And that's where Abraham put his faith. He knew God could work outside the parameters, and so he trusted in God. Now this morning, you may not have the exact order or command that God gave to Abraham, but God can work in your life as well. He can. You know, that you may come upon a trouble or trial or a situation in your life where you look and say, you know, nothing can fix this. Nothing can help me out. Nothing can overcome this trial or trouble. That's when you should put your faith in God and trust in Him. And then see how God works in your life. See how He directs. See how He works around your life to bring about His will in your life. You see, that's what Abraham did. He was fully persuaded that God would, I guess you say, keep His promise. And that He would preserve or protect Isaac. You know what it came down to? Abraham believed that God would provide a miracle before he'd let his word pass away. Now think about that. That's how important God's word is to him. When God gives his word, he will keep his word. Now today we live in a generation of people who break their word. That's why we have courtrooms that are filled. That's why when you go and buy something or you have to fill out a contract, you got to read through 30 or 40 pages just to before you sign your name and put your signature in 20, 30 places because so many people break their word. And they have to go to court and you have to do this and do that because people are breaking their word or not keeping their word. God will keep His word. He will. Every promise that has been made in this Bible either has been kept or will be kept because God has made it. And God is faithful. You see, that's what Abraham believed in. He believed that if necessary, God would provide a miracle to keep His word. Because His word was precious to him. Now you think about this, loved ones. Today we have so many people that are living really without faith. They're struggling from day to day. And I tell you why. One of the reasons I believe it's happening is because so many people believe this just to be a fairy tale. Or some will say, well, it's just an allegory. There's nothing real in there. It's just a bunch of stories. Now when you begin to look upon God's word as nothing but a bunch of stories, why would you have faith in it? I wouldn't. If I thought it was a bunch of stories, if I thought it was an allegory, to be honest with you, if I thought this was a bunch of stories, I wouldn't be here this morning. I don't know where I'd be, but I sure wouldn't be living my life according to it. I'd find something that I believed was accurate and I believed was true, not just a bunch of fairy tales and stories that made me feel good. I don't need to feel good in life. I want some answers for my life. You see, the Bible is accurate. It is God's word. It's the very word of God, and He will keep His promises. You know, this morning, many people struggle with faith because they simply don't see this as God's word. There's nothing to cling to. There's nothing to place their faith in because they don't see it as the word of God. You know, God will keep His word, and faith basically takes God at His word. It trusts in God, believing He will keep everything that He has said. You know, when you think of Abraham, his trial really was seen in the light of God's power. Here he is. He has this trial. And he should have staggered. I really believe that. I keep saying that. But every time I read this passage, it just amazes me that he didn't stagger, that he was faithful to God, because he should have. But I think what happened is his faith in God was so strong. Faith in God's promise, faith in God's power, and faith in God's plan, that mountain, so to speak, of a trial basically turned into a little hill. Something that Abraham just said, okay, let's go. God will take care of it. We can just walk over this. You see, that's what faith does. Faith reduces our problems. You know, without faith, man, I tell you what, every obstacle is a burden and a trial. But when you have faith in God, you realize, hey, I serve a God that can overcome all things. I serve a God who can work miracles if He would choose to. This is nothing for my God. We'll get through this. He'll guide me. He'll direct me. And that's how Abraham approached this problem. You know, when you notice this morning as we wrap this message up, you think about Abraham. He was not exempt from trials or difficulties. And this morning, as believers, we shouldn't expect exemption from trials as well. No matter how old you are, no matter how young you are, no matter if you've been saved for a year, 30 years, or 40 years, don't expect yourself to be exempt from trials. You know, actually, in 1 Peter chapter 4, Peter says we should really expect trials and we should prepare for them so we can endure them. You know, we shouldn't fear the trials in life because we walk with God. We serve a God who is almighty and who can provide not only the answers to our questions, but also provide the power to overcome the difficulties. And so we should live by faith while we are tested, while we are tried, knowing that God will keep His word. You know, think about this. God has promised to provide our needs. Has He not in the Bible? He said He'll provide our needs. This morning, if you ever get to a point in your life where you began to be concerned about your needs, trust in God that He'll keep that word. You see, God will keep His word. He'll be faithful to His word. And that's why I encourage you to read the Bible. When you find the promises in the Bible, underline them, circle them, and count on them, because God will keep those. You know, it's not always easy to have faith in the promises. You know, when you read this passage, sometimes, you know, you read it, it's verses 17 through 19, you go back and read chapter 22. You know, if we're not careful, we can read that and just kind of skim over it and almost say, well, it's just, you know, that's easy. Kind of like, you know, what they call them, armchair quarterbacks. Every Monday morning, we have all the answers that those players should have done, but we weren't in there getting, attacked by 300-pound men trying to, you know, take our head off and slam us to the ground. You see, when you read the Scriptures, sometimes it's easy to look and say, oh yeah, he just walked by faith. Do you realize that this trial was great in his life? It was a great test for Abraham. And it's not always easy to live by faith. It wasn't easy for him to do this. Actually, I believe it was difficult. And the Bible doesn't tell us his emotions. It doesn't tell us if he shed any tears. It doesn't tell us what he thought. I put myself in that position. I know I probably would have crumbled at the thought of doing what he had to do. It was a difficult decision. But living by God, or living by faith, is not always easy. Matthew chapter 16 tells us this, that we must be willing to bear our cross and to separate, whether it's from family or from friends, if necessary. And that's because we must live by faith. You know, there are a lot of people, a lot of believers have had to end relationships because they chose to trust in God's word instead of continuing on in an unbiblical relationship. What's that Bible tell us in 2 Corinthians 6 verse 14? Be ye not unequally yoked together. I believe that's referring probably to marriage. It could even include maybe business dealings. You know, you think about that. Many have had to really break away from a situation because of that. And that's not easy. That's definitely not easy. You have to do that by faith. Trusting in God's word, not in feelings or emotions. You know, many have had to leave churches that they grew up in. I know people who grew up in a church had to leave it because the church began to teach false teachings, went a different direction from the Word. Some even just got rid of the Word of God and began to go a false way, and some had to leave churches because of the worldly teachings creeping in, and it was a difficult decision, but they did it because they were trusting in God. They found a place where they could serve the Lord. Many have had to find new careers. You know, there are some that have to leave their career because of the sin that has crept in, whether it's in their business or corporation or something else. And they had to leave because the conscience, or their conscience just started to get to them, and they understood that the sin that was there was no longer correct or right. And so instead they trusted in God and they relied upon the Word of God. You see, that's faith. And it's never easy to live by faith, because faith often requires sacrifice and self-denial. But remember, loved ones, trials are but for a moment. They're not going to last forever. Even Abraham's trial was finished at some point. He went, offered up Isaac. The Bible says that God stopped him, and God did provide the sacrifice. Isaac did not die physically. I believe in his mind, for Abraham, he did. Abraham had committed him to the Lord, and to Abraham, he had received him back again. But God did not take Isaac's life or demand Isaac's life. God was testing Abraham. Abraham was faithful, and God blessed him. And Abraham moved on, and so did Isaac. This morning, if you are in the middle of a trial, maybe you're not, maybe you will be, keep this in mind. Trials are not forever. They're just for the moment. Get through it. Walk with God. Be faithful. And when you get out of that trial, I believe you'll be blessed. You see, those that live by faith, you know what they do? They walk contently as they go from one difficulty to another difficulty. And they look forward to the end. In other words, they just continue on trusting in God and looking to God. And they look forward to the time that they'll be able to rejoice with the Lord in heaven. You see, this morning, if we're going to have faith that staggers not, we need to be fixed on God's promise or His promises. We need to know God's Word and put our faith in God's Word. Secondly, we need to follow by faith. When God directs us from His Word, we need to be faithful and obedient. And then we need to focus on God's power. There are going to be times in our life when we're not going to know how God will work. We're not going to know the details to how God will bring things to pass. And that's when we have to have faith on God's power. Focus on God's power. Don't focus on the problem. Yes, you got to deal with the problem. Don't focus on it though. Focus on God. Put your faith in God's power and look to see how God will bless you. You see, you think of Abraham. He was tested like none before, and I could probably say he was tested like none after. This was a great test of his faith. But you know, he came out victorious because he had faith in God. He didn't stagger because he trusted God. And God did not fail him. That's what I want to close with this morning. God did not fail Abraham. And God will not fail you. If you put your faith in Him, God will be faithful to you. Dear Lord, we thank You for this day. Thank You for the blessing You've given to us. I thank You for this passage we've read concerning Abraham. I pray today, Lord, that we'll remember how faithful You are. And we'll remember the importance of putting our trust in You. As we have this time of invitation, if you've worked in anyone's heart here today, I pray they get things settled with You. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to ask you to keep your heads bowed, your eyes closed. We're just going to have a time of prayer. If God has worked in your heart here this morning, I encourage you to seek Him out in prayer. Perhaps there's one here that needs to put their faith in God for salvation, need to trust in the Lord. If that's the case, I encourage you to get that settled. If you have any questions, please come down. We can take the Bible and show you from God's Word how you can know not only how